Is it a commitment or is it a convenience? We talk of the love of God. Do you love God and serve Him out of convenience or commitment? So remember that. We're going to get back to the Shadrach story and other stories. But for now, we'll tell a little bit more of my story. And I know last night we stopped. Where we stopped last night? Anybody remember? Huh? Well, I was 20 years old. Something happened. Well, you're good. Better than the average. Well, at 20 years old, I had a big party. My 20th birthday party, my uncle lived in the U.S., in New York City, came back to the islands and went to throw me a big party. So we went to the marketplace to buy stuff to cook for the party. Guess who we met? The young lady I was dating. Remember I was dating a young lady and we broke up? Well, I met her. We met her mother. And her mother knew my uncle well. Before he moved to America, she had known him. So my uncle didn't know all was happening, that I had a relationship with this woman's daughter, invited her to come to the birthday party. So that night, she came, and not only she came, but she brought my ex-girlfriend. Well, I had other girls there that I was interested in somewhat, but when this girl came in, she made a difference. The reason why she made a difference, like I told you last night, she was from the other side of the railroad tracks. See, I never wanted to marry a girl that was smoking drugs with me and drinking with me and partying with me. I didn't want a girl that everyone was touching and handling. I wanted something that was different for my life. I wanted something that was different. Yes, you could hang out with me. We could party together. We could drink. We could smoke. But for marriage. I say that to say to many young ladies today. That when you carry yourself in such a loose way, you're saying because we do this and we do that, you're going to get the man that God wants for you. It doesn't happen that way. When I go shopping, I like to go to Walmart sometimes. But when I go to Walmart, you know what I do? I walk to the section that says clearance. The big clearance section. Because I like the clearance section because the things in the clearance section is 50% off, 40% off. The reason why the bag might have been open. It might have been touched up and a little bit soiled. The zipper might have broken. There's something, no one really wants it. So they put it on clearance. I believe a lot of young ladies is in the clearance section of the store today. Because they have been through so many different men that have touched and opened and different things like that. When a man looks for a wife, he looks for something that could give him a challenge. But that's what I was looking for. I don't know for you, but that's what I was looking for. And this woman represented that. What I just shared with you is not only for women, but also for young men. Sometimes I'm asked to speak at youth meetings, and I go into more details when there are young people of age on how they should carry themselves. In Southern Indiana is a place I like to go a lot. We have lots of friends down there. A lot of the young ladies down there getting involved. A lot of the young men is getting involved. I'm moving away from what I want to share with you, but I just thought I'd share that with you maybe sometime this week on Saturday, I believe. We'll be sharing something for some of the young people, a challenge for the young people. But for now, I just want to continue my story. So, a girl came and, wow, she lit up the place. I left everyone else and gave her my full attention. The old fire rekindled again. Many people always wondered, is that the woman you got married to? Well, the relationship started up again and really started to blossom even more. Until one day she came and she said to me, "This is a nice place to stop, but I wouldn't stop here tonight." She says, "I got something to say to you." And I said, "What is it?" "Sit down." I said, "All right." So I sat down and she says, "I'm pregnant." I almost asked, "How you got pregnant?" But I knew that if you get involved in things you shouldn't be involved in, it causes things in your life and circumstances changes in your life. Yes, I sure did things I shouldn't have done. I was going really good up to that time. At 20 years old, I had never got involved sexually. Neither my wife until then. She was 17 and I was 20. I said, you know, I never wanted my children to grow up the way I did. So I'll do the man thing and I'll get married. So I went and I speak to her mom and told her what happened. And the mom wasn't too happy, but her mom says, what do you plan to do? And I said, I want to marry her. And she said, are you marrying her because she's pregnant? I said, that's not the only reason I love her. So I said, okay. So we planned a wedding. I remember the day of the wedding. I was so much involved in things in the streets and drugs and everything else. I almost forgot I was getting married that day. The wedding was 4 o'clock. The biggest church in the island, the Cathedral of Immaculate Conception. It's a Catholic church. It's the cathedral of the Catholic Church. She was Catholic, and so I went to see the priest a couple of times, and he told me what I need to do and not to do, and bring up my children as Catholics, and I agreed because I didn't care. I was so high on cocaine and drugs, I didn't care what he was saying. I just said, yes, yes, yes. But that day, at about 2 o'clock, I realized, wait a minute, I'm getting married today. Huh. I got to get my clothes. I got my clothes. Go to get a shower, and there was no water in the faucet. So I did the old-fashioned way, a little wash under the arms, you know, make it smell, you know, not too smelly. And deodorant was a little bit scarce, but I got some enough to put under the armpit and got my clothes on. And now I need a ride to the church. The church was in the city. I live 5 miles from the city, from the capital, Port of Spain. So I saw a friend I knew that had a car, an old car, one of these cars where the air conditioning unit came from the floorboard, because there was, you know, there was a big hole in the floor of the, you know, so when you drive, the wind came up with smoke and everything else. But I didn't care. I needed to get to the church. One of the things I did not know was the tradition is that the girl never walks into the church before the man. So for half hour, my wife was in a nice car riding around the church. People in the church looking at the time, half an hour late, wondering if the groom ran away and decided not to get married. Till I pulled up in this little old car smoking and everything else. I got out and ran up the aisle. And I got up there and, oh yeah, you can stand here. And everybody starts feeling nice. Oh, we got a wedding today. So we got married. But you know, after we got married, something happened. Something happened that was devastating to both her and me. And we'll talk about that tomorrow. This one is a big one. It would change your life because it had changed mine. But tonight I want to talk a little bit. We talked about the love of God, and I wanted to build a really strong foundation. A foundation that tells us that God's love is unlimited. God's love is everlasting. And I got in trouble for this one just last Friday when I said God's love is unconditional. And I had a pastor of the church Saturday morning told me, I really enjoy your message, but I had a problem with God's love is unconditional. See, I believe God's love is unconditional, but... Well, not but God... And I said, do you believe it is or not? And one of the reasons why is because it's difficult for us to separate the sin from the sinner. It is very difficult for us to do that. So we look at it not the way God looks at it. God loves the man, but doesn't love his sin. God loves him so much, he wants to get him out of that sin. But you serve in Jesus Christ today with all the love he has given to you, with his commitment. You see, his was not convenience. He didn't leave our heaven because it was convenient for him to come here. It was a commitment he made. And that commitment was unto death. Tell you a story. A joke, but it's a story. The story goes like this. A pig and a chicken walking down the street one day. And as the pig and the chicken walking down the street, they saw this big sign. It says, free breakfast. No, a breakfast for charity. As a matter of fact, the breakfast was eggs and ham breakfast. And the chicken looked at the pig and says, hey, listen, we should make a donation here. I'll give some eggs. Chicken said, wait. I mean, the pig says, wait. You give some eggs, that's a contribution. If I could give some ham, that's a commitment. Because for me to give ham, I got to die. And I believe our Christian life sometimes could be like that. It's okay to make a contribution when it's convenient. But a total commitment is something we don't want to make. Many today do not want to make a total commitment. We know of people. I know people who go from church to church. They hear the church down the street has a better worship team. So they go to that church. And then you hear of another church that has a good Wednesday night service. And they have a good Bible study class. And we leave for the next church. And then we just go from church to church and there's no commitment. And then we wonder why our children is not committed. Let us be honest. Commitment is something that sometimes could be difficult. It will cause us something. It would interfere with our schedule. For you to be here tonight, you have to be committed. There's a lot of things you could be doing tonight. A lot of places you could be. Bed for one, if you had a long day at work. But if you're committed to say, for this week, I want to hear what God has to say to me. Not to the person next to me, but to me. It means you have to make an extra sacrifice to be here night after night. I know what it's like. Well, 5 months ago, I had a week of meetings every night. And then the last night, I left and went home for another week of meetings, just sitting and listening. But it was great to be able to sit and listen. Because I go and go and go and go to be able to sit and be ministered to. The Webster Dictionary says commitment is the pledge or the promise to some particular cause or use. Like marriage, we make commitment to each other. What is a commitment? It's a pledge or a promise. Today, many weddings are of convenience. You say we get married until death do us part. Now we even take that out. When I do a marriage, I do the old time thing in sickness and in health and everything else. There's all these fancy vows and all these things, but there's nothing with a commitment until death. No, I want you to know this is not something you could get into and conveniently get out of. The church has made it so easy for us to get in and out. When we have made a promise and a pledge before God, and God takes our promises seriously. There's a story in the Old Testament of a man that made a really foolish promise. He was going to war one day and he says to God, God, if you allow me to win this war, if you allow me to win this battle when I go home, the first thing that comes out of my house, I'll give it a sacrifice. Now, you know, back in those days, we didn't have things like now. We had goats and sheep and everything else in the tents. He went to war and he won. As he was coming back home, triumph, victory, and they're all happy that, hey, we were victorious. And as he came to his house, his daughter heard the noise and she ran out, and the first thing he saw coming out of the house was his daughter. He made a promise. That was a commitment. It was for him convenience in some way. But he knew that it was not just a convenience, it was a commitment. His daughter knew that her dad, when he told her, I made a commitment. And she said, Dad, just give me some time to meet some friends. She went out and had some time with some friends. This is hard, but he had to sacrifice his daughter. But that is really, really hard, but it is. God says it is better not to make a promise than to promise and not keep it. And we see the state of America today, the state of the church today, where there is as much people in the church divorcing and remarrying than in the world. And we as a church should be the leaders that we are following in the tradition of the world. Commitment to Jesus is more than a definition. It requires my life, my soul, my every being. Not twice a week or once a week. Not just on Sundays or Wednesday or this time of revival or renewal.
It is our entire life must be a life committed to Jesus Christ.
As we look at the cross, we see commitment. Jesus was committed to go all the way to Calvary. It was not a convenience for you. It was not for me.
Why do we live our lives serving Christ many times as if it's convenient?
About 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I had meetings in Southern Indiana. On my way going to Southern Indiana, I got a phone call from one of my pastors. And it says, this coming Sunday is our monthly hymn sing. Every month, the first Sunday, we have a hymn sing. And I said, yeah. He said, but did you realize that this coming Sunday is the Super Bowl? I said, oh, I didn't think about it when we... I mean, we just have it the first Sunday. Well, should we... Should we start a meeting early so people can go home? Or should we just cancel for next week? And be sarcastic, I said, well, you know what? Before we do that, what we need to do is the next meeting, let's pull out a calendar. See when is the World Series. See when is the NBA Finals. See when is the Super Bowl Finals. And then we'll plan all, you know, okay, these are all the days. And then we'll say, okay, then we'll have church. And he caught what I was saying. What I was saying, let's just have it. That's a commitment. So some say we're gonna be better than that, but we're gonna do Sunday. We're gonna have Super Bowl Sunday, so we're gonna put a big screen up and we invite all people to come. There's no alcohol. The commercial is a little bit dirty, but that's all right. I mean, it's a church. It's church. We're not talking about God. There's no mention of God in the church. Is that a real commitment? Or do we follow the world? I might say something might offend some people, but I like sports. I grew up with sports. But I'm committed to Jesus Christ. And no sports is going to take me away. If I'm preaching, and there could be what game is going on, I'm not concerned with the game. I'm concerned of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because that's what transformed my life. My Christianity is not of convenience. Many are not committed to the things of God, but live a life of what is convenient. A couple of years ago, I was in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. I was invited to come and speak on evangelism. 6 months before I came, I got an invitation to come and speak on evangelism. I said, well, if I'm coming to speak on evangelism, we're going to go out and do some. Because too many times, all we do is teach about fishing. We talk about all the new techniques and the new rods you must use, the new baits and the line, how long it should be. And we read all kinds of books about fishing, but we don't go to fish. It's the same thing with evangelism. We talk about all kinds of things. We go to seminary and we go to Bible college and we go to evangelism training centers. And we don't go and do evangelism. So the pastor says, sure, we're going to do that, no problem. So I came down to Friday, and Friday night, evening, we had a whole session on the different ways to do it and how to approach people and what to say and how to pray and whatever. Saturday morning, 10 o'clock, we're ready to go. The first thing, what's the address of your church? Nobody knows the address. Everybody knows the church down on the road there by the silo. You turn right and yep. I said, we're going into the city. Do I tell people that? No, give me an address. So eventually they found the address, so we got the address. So we're waiting for the rest of the people. We have about four men. Three of them would be over 60. Some young girls and some children. None of the pastors, none of the deacons. Okay. So we went out the next morning, Sunday morning. The pastors normally have their holy huddle. We go into a room, all the pastors, and we sit and we have that holy huddle. And we talk about, okay, you're going to do the announcements, and you're going to do this, and yep. Great. And we hold hands, and we pray, and yeah. So when we finish that, I said, I got something to say. And what? I said, well, yesterday was, you know, we went out to evangelize. I didn't see any one of you folks. And I thought you were committed to it, and you're the leaders. Oh, well, yeah, see, yesterday, Saturday, you know, it was nice day to cut the grass.
So the lawn was getting too big, so I decided to cut the grass. And I needed to go pick up some stuff for my wife's mother. And it was a whole lot of excuses. 6 months ago, I told you, you've been the leaders. So Sunday morning, I thought I'll drop it, okay? God didn't want me to drop it in preaching. I get to some place of commitment. It wasn't this message. And I said, I was very, very disappointed yesterday that the men did not come out, especially the leaders. And that was 6 years ago. They never invited me to come back, and it didn't bother me too much. But I'm talking about commitment. We make commitment, we have to follow through with the commitments. That's why many times we wonder why our children are not committed to things, because they look at dad and mom. Is dad and mom committed? Webster said convenience. The word means suited to one's comfort or ease. Suited to one's comfort or ease. A clear example of a lifestyle is this. I go to church on Sunday morning. Isn't that enough? I mean, I sat there for 2 hours. I was even in Sunday school. Last Sunday, I was at a church in Maryland, Snow Hill, Maryland. And the service starts at 9:30. And my wife and I cooked a meal for lunch. We were going to finish at 12. Have the meal and try to have the next service. Well, we couldn't because the men normally go on that Sunday to the prison. So we have the meal, they go to the prison, they come back, and then we have the service. So you're talking about from 9 o'clock in the morning to about 6 o'clock. Some says, oh, that's a long day. So, well, we used to say this is the Lord's Day, right? Huh. We take it literal now. This Sunday is the Lord's Day. We miss out on our Mennonite nap. You know, after we eat on a Sunday, we got to get a little Mennonite nap, you know. Convenience. By following Jesus, is it a commitment or convenience? Now, a commitment means I'm committed, I'm surrendered. I want you to understand, you can't just commit. You have to be surrendered commitment. Because sometimes we can't do it on our own. We have to be surrendered. So I don't want us to walk over and say, I could do it. No, you have to be a part of it. But it's a surrender. Are we living a life for Jesus that is suited for our comfort? Do we want to be committed as long as it is easy? The three Hebrew boys, when the fire was really turned up, when they were given a second chance, they said, King, you could do whatever you want. World, you could do whatever you want. Church, you can change the doctrines however you want to. But I'm committed to what the Word of God said. And the Word of God said, you shall bow before no other God but Jehovah. That we're not going to bow. They were committed. And because of their commitments, now they're going to say, well, you know what? Now, if you understand that story, the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were in the government. They were working in the government. They could say, okay, now, you know what we're going to do? We're going to bow with our knees, but our hearts are still to God. God knows we can make a change here. Later on, as we get high up in authority, we could change this place. They didn't say that. They says, no, we're not. And because they stood for God, God stood for them. And even though God did not prevent them from the fire, He walked with them in the fire. Are you committed to the things of God tonight? Am I committed? When we think of Monday night, we heard of the love of God. The love of God still does not change, whether you're committed or not. He still loves you. But your actions, He doesn't love. And your actions have consequences. Well, we talked a whole lot. Now let's get to the scripture. Matthew. Everybody say he said Matthew, but he didn't say, well, Matthew what? Matthew not chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, we know the story well. In Matthew chapter 19, beginning at verse 16, it tells us, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Matthew chapter 19, verse 17, and he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do not murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and mother. Thou shalt love thy neighbors as thyself. The young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou will be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven. Come and follow me. When the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He was willing to do a lot of stuff for convenience, but now he had a place to commit. See, I did all these things. I was in church. I sang. I know the hymns. I led the choruses. I sweep the church. I vacuum. I mean, I did all kind of stuff. I even went out witnessing in New York City. No, I want a commitment from you. I want to send you to a place to share my gospel. I want you to go into Samaria. But the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. I committed to follow God all the way. Am I committed to follow the Bible? Or is it for convenience? And when it's not convenient, I look for something or someone that would kind of help me to move away. I wish I could preach what I wanted to preach tonight, but I'll leave it for tomorrow night. We'll go gradually. Many today do not want to be totally committed to the Lord because it demands too much of them. Let's be honest here. Commitment is sometimes or something or someone else to do. Someone else is going to do it. See, if it interferes with my schedule, I don't think I want to be involved in it. We know that a commitment is a pledge. It is something that we would do because we're committed to it. Jesus said to the young man in verse 21, if you want eternal life, go sell your possessions. Come and follow me. Many today have uncommitted focus on keeping their stuff rather than giving them away. You know how hard it is, how much I work to get this. No, you want me to give it up to go on the mission field? Verse 22, give to the poor, and you'll have treasures in heaven. When the young man heard this, he went away sad. Why? Because he had great wealth. You see, Jesus was not only talking about money here. Being committed could be committed to anything, to do or giving your energy, your time, the things that you value. Being able to say, I'm willing to give that up. Or I'm willing to work in this area. Maybe it's work, maybe it's sports, whatever it else or whatever it is could be. Jesus is telling this man to get rid of it. Jesus is telling us today, if this thing is attracting you more than I am to you, then you need to get rid of it. In Mark chapter 8, verse 36, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet lose his soul? soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? How about you and me? Do any of these things come close to home? Or do we always look at the person next to us? Yeah, you need to be more committed. See, the Bible is not for the next person, it's for me. Selling his possessions wouldn't have given this guy really eternal life. But the attitude of what he was holding on to. You giving away everything doesn't mean that's eternal life. If you just give it because, you know, there's a teaching today. Given shall be given unto you, which is scriptural. But your giving of tithes and offering is not so that I can get rich. Your giving and my giving is because I want to give because God has given so much to me. And as we give in a spirit of we just want to bless God. And in blessing God, we bless His people. He gives back to us. But if our intention is just to give so that we could get, like many are preaching today, this get well ministry, this, you know, just get rich. If you tie 1,000, you get 5. It's like a lottery, you know, you put a certain amount in and you can win a certain amount. Selling his possession. The question of us for us today must answer is, what is standing in the way of you and I totally committing to Jesus Christ? If you are not a believer today, what is stopping you from totally committing to Him? What is it that's stopping you? You totally sold out to the one who sold out even His life for you and for me. Sometimes it's just pride. Jesus said at one time that He talked about the dinner being ready. Supper, or whatever you want to call it. Go out and call them. Bring them in. Tell them to come. Well, one had a cow to take care of, and the other one had a wife to get married, and there was all kind of excuses. All kind of excuses we make when we know we need to be committed. It was not convenient for them to come. The reason why there's so much abortion today is because there's not commitment. Young men and young women are not committed to keep themselves holy and pure until God is ready to give them a wife or a husband. So they're waiting around for convenience sake. I'm amazed at some parents also. I've been in places in this country where people, young men and women, 16 years old, all touching up and playing up with each other. Parents are sitting in the living room and I wonder, what's happening here? We had a group that came from someplace or Southern Indiana, and we were on the Brooklyn Bridge. And this young girl and young boy couldn't be more than 16, 17 years old. And they're taking a picture, and he got his hand on part of her body he shouldn't even be touching. And they're taking a picture. I looked at her and I said, excuse me, young man, are you married to her? And he says, no. I said, get your hand off the girl. And I don't know what caused me to say that, but he just got scared. And for the whole rest of the time, he never even sat next to her. And the youth pastor was standing right there, and I'm thinking, what's going on here? That's for her husband to touch, not him. Another young couple, I'm preaching in another place, and this young man, a young girl is kissing. And I'm like, after the service, I send you to talk to them. So I talked to the pastor first. And he said, oh, yeah. I said, listen, let's go talk to the parents with them. And he put it off and put it off and put it off. And the Sunday, I said, we got to do it today. So we went and I talked to them. The parents came from the Amish. And as I was sharing with them some of the good qualities I've seen the young men, but I said, listen, what you all are doing is not right. And as I talked, the mom starts crying. And I was like, oh boy, I really have problems. But then she said, you know, the reason I'm crying, when my husband and I was dating, nobody ever told us anything. And we did some things we never should have done. We got in a situation we never should have gotten involved, but no one said anything. As a matter of fact, my son We don't like what he's doing, but nobody tells him anything. People are afraid to talk to him. So I talk to him again, and he says, well, we're getting married.
I said, but you're not married. I said, young man, listen, you keep it up like this, you'll have a honeymoon with no honey. Wait upon the Lord. That would be a beautiful time for you. Oh, no, we're getting married. As a matter of fact, his place in the front was her name. 2 months later, they separated. After he was all over, I don't know all where they went and how far they went.
They separated. So when they go through life like that, when they get married, there's no commitment. Because he was never committed to keep himself. She was never committed to keep herself. And they just went from place to place, man to man, woman to woman. And they get married and they bring all their experiences together. All he had and all she had, and all of a sudden. Why divorce is spreading more and more? No commitment. Why is there in New York City,
you can get whatever you want for a church. You want a church with a homosexual pastor, no problem, there's that. You want a church where there's a woman pastor, you could get two. You want a woman bishop, whatever you want, you can get. Because church has come convenient now. What is what I want? It's not what the Bible says, it's whatever I want.
See, I'm looking for a church that would suit my convenience. I'm not looking for a church to be committed to the Word of God. You know, marriages, or finances, or work ethics, and everything shows how committed we are to Christ. Being committed to serving ought to be the number one responsibility of Christians. Action speaks louder than words, and God is watching our actions. See, the young man was looking for a better method to get what he wanted rather than wanting what God wanted. See, Jesus says, sell all you have. Give it to the poor. Now, I kind of want what God has, but I'm not going to get let go what I got. Are you and I looking for an escape route? Do we look for the easy road to Christianity as long as it does not ruffle our feathers? If we start preaching and the preacher is preaching the Word of God, it doesn't really feel good for me because it ruffles my feathers. It ruffles the feathers of how I dress. It ruffles the feathers of the places I go. The friends I keep. The things I drink. The social drinking in our Anabaptist churches today. What is social drinking? Second Timothy 3:16-17 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that a man of God may be truly equipped for every good work. It does not say the preacher. Sometimes we interpret it as a preacher. But each and every one of us has a responsibility to preach and to teach the gospel. To live the life. Fasting is not just for the preacher. Prayer meeting is not just for the preachers. Each and everyone has a responsibility. Because all scripture is given to us. See, back many came from a place where in the Catholic Church, back in the days, the priest was the only one that read the scripture and tells them what to do. Today the light has shined where we know that we have a responsibility to read the scripture for ourselves. Second, what is the work to be done? Matthew 28:19 says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We should preach the gospel to all. That's a commitment we need to do. After the love, a commitment, and the forgiveness,
Now you notice I started off the first day talking of the love. Then I talked of forgiveness. After all of that He have done for us, shouldn't we be committed to Him? He showed us an example. He didn't stop in the Garden of Gethsemane when He was in the Garden of Gethsemane with tears and blood, and He's there and He knows the suffering, the pain, the agony, the sin that will be put upon Him. He says, Father, take this cup of suffering away from me. Not my will, your will be done. Committed to the end. Who should serve the Lord? Who should be committed? Joshua 24:15 says, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of your forefathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Ammonites, in whose land you are living, but for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Not for one section of people. It is for the section of people to call themselves Christians to be committed. Both action and words, while we are still here on earth, we have the opportunity in serving God. We can't wait till we die. It's appointed to die and then the judgment. I don't believe in purgatory. No one is going to pray me into heaven. Here is how to have total commitment to serving God. Time for application. The commitment focuses on denying thyself and following rather than living and loving themselves. Go sell all you have and come follow me. Deny yourself of all the things that the world have and follow me. Matthew 10:38, and anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Commitment or committed focus on discovering the source of life rather than being self-serving. Matthew 10:39, whosoever finds his life will lose it. Whosoever loses life for my sake will find it. The life of commitment. Shine like Jesus. To radiate. Tomorrow, I don't know if it's tomorrow or not, as the Lord leads, but there is a message I want to share with you tonight from an experience I had 2 weeks ago. About believing. Do you believe? Do you believe? Committed to Christ, John 14:15. If you love me, you would not look, you would not read, you would not hear, you would not speak, but you would obey my commandments. You would obey my commandments. Committed to love one another. To love one another, to love the church. So much turmoil in the church today. I came from a world of self-centeredness. But they are coming to the church. Sometimes I wonder, am I still in the world? Hebrews 10:24-25, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habits of doing, but let us encourage one another. We must be committed to encourage one another. Not only when it's convenient, not only when I tell you the things you like to hear, not only when I do the things you want me to do, even when you don't do what I ask. I'm committed to love you, because Christ was committed to love me. And all the more as you see the day approaching. We ought to be committed to the things of God first. We must be committed to our families. We must also be committed to the church of Jesus Christ. Somehow, at that time, we separated because of some of the things we experienced in the past. But if we are committed first to God, that's our first commitment. I tell people, people ask me what church I belong to. I belong to the Followers of Jesus Mennonite Church. I'm not ashamed to say I belong to a Mennonite church. But my allegiance is not to the Mennonite church. They say, what conference are you a part of? I'm conference a part of the BME, the Become Mennonite Alliance. But I'm not committed to them. My allegiance is to God first. And as they do and live and talk and speak and teach the Bible, I'm with them. I'm committed to be with them whenever they move away from the Word of God. My allegiance is to Jesus Christ. But I'm not ashamed to say that I'm a part of the church. I didn't join the church because their name is Mennonite. I joined the church, I became a part of the church, and traveled 3 hours every day, 2.5 hours, sorry, every day for 4 years, from New Jersey to New York City. For 4 years, one way. There was a lot of churches in the area. And I wasn't traveling all that distance because I wanted to go to a Mennonite church. I wanted to go to a church that was practicing what the Bible was speaking about. It's not a perfect church. And if there's ever a perfect church and I go there, or you go there, it's no longer perfect. Because wherever human beings are, there's imperfection. We ought to be committed to be on time to church. We must be committed to pray for the pastors and their family. You know, sometimes I hate to say this, but you know, I go to places and I preach and people say, wow, what a message. And then I look in the archives of what a preacher preached a couple of weeks ago and the same thing he preached. What happened? The Bible says a prophet has no honor in his own country. That's one. You know what the next one is? Many of you spend time in fasting and praying for revival this week. How many of us spend time committed to pray for the preaching next Sunday when I'm gone? The following Sunday. Well, if more prayer go in, what do you expect? Let me ask you a question. I might be jumping to another subject here. But how many of you know what 2 Chronicles chapter 20, chapter 7 verse 14 says? 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people that are called by my name, go ahead, shall humble themselves, pray, seek my face, then I shall hear from heaven, forgive the sin, and heal the land. That sounds good, right? What does verse 16 says? 15 and 16. Turn to it quickly. I wasn't going to preach on that, but I know we run out of time, but I just want to show you this one thing here. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Somebody get it up for me. Got it? Read verse 15. So the prayer that you pray for revival, God says his eyes are open and his ear listening. Next verse. That's when we pray and we see God's face. God speaks to our hearts, and this week, many of you would come and say, well, I really enjoyed it. Well, God, you know, God really moved me. God really spoke to me. You took time to pray. You were committed for this week. Couldn't we be committed for the next week and the next week and the next week to pray for the preachers? To pray that God is going to use them to wake us up from sleep? Could we take time to fast and pray for them? Or only, well, next year we're going to fast and pray for the next revival meeting. We ought to be committed to be a part of Sunday school and worship. And if we have a small group meeting, commitment means to serve no matter what and no matter where or when. Life happens, things go on, but the Lord will never give up on us. And we should never give up on Him. Proverbs 27:17 says that as iron sharpens iron, so does a man sharpen the countenance of his friend. This means that there is strength in numbers. We ought to come together to accomplish the task. We must be committed to come together.
I'll give you a little peek into the story coming in a couple of days of my story.
Three women committed to fast and pray for three men who got saved within 2 days. I'm one. I'll tell you more about it.
But they were committed every Wednesday. When the husband went to work, they would fast the whole day and they would meet at one time and pray. Because they were committed to see God do something in the life of their husbands. It wasn't just talking. They had stopped talking and started praying. I'm going to finish up here. I'll tell you a quick story here, committed. A little girl was talking to her teacher about whales. The teacher said it was physically impossible for a whale to swallow a human because even though it was a very large animal, its throat was too small. The little girl in class stated that Jonah was swallowed by a whale. Irritated, the teacher restated that a whale could not swallow a human was physically impossible. The little girl said, "When I go to heaven, I will ask you, Jonah." The teacher asked, "What if Jonah went to hell?" The little girl replied, "Then you ask him. Are you totally committed to God in every area of your life? Are you and I conveniently committed to Him for the sake of comfort and ease?" Jesus desired total commitment. We want victory. I tell you already, I'm not just talking to you, I'm talking to me. I need to be more committed in the things of God. I'll jump to the last. Okay, Jesus wrote to the church in Laodicea. He says, "You say I am rich. I have acquired wealth and you do not need a thing. But do you realize how pitiful and poor you are?" Sometimes we think, oh yeah, we're blessed. We got so much. In America, there's so much wealth. In the midst of it, so much sin. My encouragement to those of you here tonight is if you never made a decision to follow Jesus, make a commitment. See, because a decision would be, I want to do it, but you know, it doesn't work. No, I want to be committed. I don't want to make a decision. I want to make a commitment to Him. It means to give up all that you think is of worth. Everything you give up, He will give back more in return. Don't let stuff get in the way of the greatest treasure of all, Jesus. For the rest of the stuff of this world will rot, get rust, and will decay. God will always be with us. So that's my challenge to you tonight. Number one, think of how much God loves you. How much He loves you. Number two, think of how much He forgives you. Now He's asking you. Number three, think of how much He's committed to His own life for you. Would you do the same? With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, tonight I just want to have an invitation here. You don't have to get up. I don't even need to see. But I want you tonight, if you have never made a commitment to Jesus Christ, you know the baby in the manger, you know the man on the cross, you heard the Christmas story, you've been in church, you have read the Bible, your dad was a deacon or the bishop, you know the songs. Or maybe you don't. But you have never made a commitment to Jesus Christ. You have never asked Him to forgive you of your sins, to be the Lord of your life. Don't leave tonight without making a commitment to Him. This is a personal decision between you and Him. But He would love if you would tell someone after making that decision to make a commitment. You decide to make a commitment, but let it not just be a deciding decision, but let it be a decision that brings you to commitment. If that is you tonight, I ask that you would just pray and ask Jesus Christ
forgive you. If you're wrestling, would God be living? Maybe you're backslidden. God is a God of second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth chances. He never gave up on you. He still loves you. No matter what you have done, Paul says, I was the chief of sinners. He will forgive you tonight. His desire is to forgive. His desire is to love. Because He is love. Choose Jesus tonight. If you are walking in victory, be committed to continue walking in victory. Father, we thank you tonight. We praise you, God, for your loving kindness and your grace. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord God, for your Spirit tonight. Spirit that would help us to be committed to surrender. Surrendered commitment. And help us, Lord, to walk in victory. Father, we thank you tonight, Lord God, for your love and your mercy and your grace. May you be all glory and honor. Help us to live as people that is committed to you. In Jesus' name. Amen.